It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And somebody we trust to bring us the local news is the one and only Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, how are we doing this morning, good sir?
Hey, Rocco, I'm all right, thanks.
Good to hear, Dave. Good to hear. Wanted to start with a story from your colleague, Kevin Martin. This one was in Tuesday's Chronicle-Telegram, also available up online at chronicle.com. What's going on in the Elyria schools with this PBIS plan, Dave?
Yeah, so this is a little interesting, and it's also one of those mandates that came down from the state. But basically, the Elyria schools are trying to put in place this plan to improve academic, social, and behavioral outcomes for all of its students. So what that means is kind of taking evidence, kind of taking best practices, you know, finding out what students' needs are, finding out ways to kind of engage kids, to find out just how, you know, or make sure to ensure, you know, sort of the best behavior possible. And there's a bunch of state support that comes into this. This has been law signed back in 2018 by Governor John Kasich. But yeah, basically what the PBIS plan is called Positive Behavioral Interventions and Supports Program. So this targets like a portion of students, and some of those students, you know, maybe don't need as much help kind of, you know, in the behavioral sector, but, but there are three tiers of students in sort of the tier two, tier three, you know, sort of that other 20% of students who need a little bit more individual support, a little more sort of one-on-one support. And this is talked about at the school board meeting back on, back on October 5th, and Denise Blatt, who's the associate superintendent, for Elyria Schools, said that this is kind of, you know, support that would encompass the whole student body. Each building would develop kind of a plan for acceptable behavior, and then bring that to these students. You know, recognize students for building trust, for growing, you know, in their relationships with other students, making better choices. It seems like kind of an interesting program, you know, that the state put together. And it also, you know, it'll support, you know, freshman high school students who are moving from, you know, say middle school into high school, which is really a difficult time for a lot of kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, jumping from being sort of the top, you know, sort of the big cheese to the small fry, right? from school to school, if you will. And this plan is sort of ongoing. You know, they want students to feel, you know, safe and secure, you know, healthy, well, make sure that there's not a lot of bias, you know, in teaching instruction, you know, and sort of positive behavior, you know, behavior programs. So hopefully this will pay dividends down the line with better behavior in the schools and sort of encouraged by, you know, by a system of, hey, you know, pat on the back, good job, and maybe some awards and just recognizing students for their positive interactions with each other.
What is a delicate time in their lives, like you said, Dave? I was once the big cheese going to the small fry, as you so deliciously put it. So, yeah, I am very much on board with this. And I mean, we've seen time and time again, right? Like each kid, they just need different treatment while they're getting through school for things like this, whether it's behavior or academics or anything really. So I am fully on board with this. And again, great breakdown from you, Dave. And you can read more from Kevin Martin on this in Tuesday. Today's Chronicle-Telegram, also online at chronicletea.com. Elsewhere, Dave, your colleague Carissa Wojtyś had this one on Lorain officials taking a little tour about some permanent supportive housing in Cleveland. What's the deal here?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk recently, especially in Elyria and Lorain, about trying to get people who are unhoused, you know, the classic term sort of is homeless, right? Well, there are a lot of people who may not necessarily be homeless, but they may be living couch to couch. They may be living in a car. You know, they might have, you know, mental health or substance, you know, substance use disorders. They may have some reason that they can't maintain, you know, even part-time or permanent housing. So what they call permanent supportive housing has really become this thing that a lot of cities are looking into, taking an existing structure or building a new structure, you know, building a new apartment building and putting the services right there, you know, putting your Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, veteran support services, your social services, you know, be it, you know, Nord Center, Neighborhood Alliance, you know, in Lorain County, putting those services right where people live. So, you know, say your first floor is classrooms and offices and psychologists and sociologists and social workers who are helping the people who live on the, you know, second, third, fourth floor, whatever, really kind of reintegrate back into, okay, I can hold a job, now I can rent an apartment. Now I can rent an apartment, I can save some money. Now I can save some money, I can move into my own housing, move back with my family. You know, I can get off the street, get out of sleeping in the back of my car or in the front of my car, you know, get away from living in sort of these, you know, these tent cities, these, you know, encampments, shelters, into permanent supportive housing. Now, a lot of times with permanent supportive housing, people can stay for as long as they want until they're ready to go. You know, sometimes there are some limits that are put on that. And basically, South Lorain and the city of Lorain are kind of looking at what these things look like in other cities. For example, in this instance, Cleveland. So, council members from Central and South Lorain, staff from the Nord Center, A Place to Recover, which is a training resource center, they have heard complaints and concerns about one of these proposed permanent supportive housing facilities supposed to go in on Broadway. And rightly so. I mean, there are people who have concerns about what's moving into their neighborhood, you know, what's going to be moving into their ward, what people are going to be, you know, what people are going to be doing.
Sure.
So all of these folks, all these officials, took a tour of two centers that are in Cleveland, run by one called Emerald Commons, which is on West 79th Street, and another called The Commons at West Village on Detroit Avenue. And they're joint ventures of what's called CHN Housing and Emerald Development and Economic Network, or Eden Incorporated. And these are agencies that basically they get state tax credits to finance portions of their projects and build this permanent supportive housing for people who are otherwise, you know, between houses, again, or have some of the problems that we discussed before. And yeah, Lorain's looking real hard at these proposals to bring something like this, to shelter people, to help people recover, to bring them into the city and keep them in a place where you can basically kind of like throw services at them, where you can have, you know, the services available for people, you know, including veterans, including, you know, single mothers, including people who have dealt with, you know, mental health issues or homelessness. And, you know, there's a lot of need out there. And basically, you know, these folks from NORD, from the city, you know, from council members, from these other recovery agencies, went and took a couple tours, and Carissa went along with them, just to kind of see what this would look like if one of these places was located in Lorain. And you know, see if they can allay some of the concerns about what that might look like. Now, there have been concerns from residents who said, you know, talking about sort of vagrancy, sort of, you know, public intoxication, panhandling, vandalism. But the Lorain Mayor Jack Radley said a lot of those complaints have been urban legends, and there's no police reports sort of to substantiate any of these concerns that folks have had, you know, along Broadway or some other places in the city, where folks in need of these services or in need of housing have been congregating recently. So it's basically members of city council doing a lot of their homework. Joanne Moon, who's from Fifth Ward City, city council representative, Ray Carrion, Sixth Ward City Council representative, they went on this tour. Don Schiffbauer, executive director at NORD, went on this tour, and just to kind of show people and learn more about what this could look like.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Certainly want to, as you said, Dave, do your homework on this type of thing. When you have concerns from the community, you want to be well-versed in what you're bringing in, so I have no issue with that. And great stuff from Carissa. Again, you can find more on this in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram, also online at chronicletea.com, as we're joined now on the hotline by Dave O'Brien, again from the Chronicle Telegram, on this morning's Local Beat, presented by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street here in Elyria. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Well, a nice story from Jason Hawk that you should be able to read about a woman from Amherst who saved a man having a medical emergency at the Browns game the other day. Really nice story. Good save there, and that'll be a great story from Jason. And some other meetings news, some more Lorraine stuff from Carissa, and some leftover items from her council, some items as well from the Lurie City Council. Kevin Martin will have more on that. So you can read all of that at chroniclet.com, or pick up a paper copy. My favorite way to read the paper at the newsstand.
There you go. You can check out more at chroniclet.com, or as Dave said, pick up a physical copy of that Chronicle Telegram today. Nothing wrong with the old ink and paper. And woman from Amherst, saving a man's life at the Browns game, can't save the win for the team, though. I guess that's how that goes sometimes. All right, Dave, that brings us to my favorite time of the week. Hope everyone's got their ears on that police scanner. What is this week's scanner story?
Well, unfortunately, I think this might be the second week in a row that we're going to pick on Shaker Heights.
Oh no!
And it's it's an animal story. Remember the one about the guy who whose toddler locked him in the chicken coop? Well,
oh, no.
Another report. This time out of Shaker Heights again, and also from our friends over at Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter. officers checking for the owner of a vehicle on Alderside found that there may be alpacas at the residence, and to quote dispatch, are they llamas or are they alpacas?
Why is it always alpacas with the random animals, right? Like, it's always like, hey, there's this strange llama-looking creature in my neighbor's backyard. I'm not sure what it is. It's always an alpaca. There's just, how do they find their way to Northeast Ohio so often? I don't know. Beats me. But entertaining scanner story nonetheless. As always, Dave, great stuff. And again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues over there at the Chronicle Telegram, pick up a copy of the CET today or head online for that digital e-edition online again at chroniclet.com. Dave, thank you as always for the time. Good sir. A pleasure talking with you. We'll look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. Talk to you then.